Accession number 9346, Reel 5.
Arthur Baxter, tape 5.
When you were at rest, did you ever have any entertainment?
What, out there? Well, there was some entertainment, but that's a damn long way behind the lion.
Did you ever see
it? I went once. Yeah.
And what was that?
I can't think of what it was. There was two or three on the stage, competent. Stage off in, but they were miles behind, you couldn't get down there, you see. No. And people what are built behind the line, they're the ones what got that, you see. Yeah.
How did you amuse yourselves then? Did you play games or did you have any football or?
We the only game we were allowed to play was Fingal. But we didn't used to play that, we used to play all the ones for money, you see. And if the military police come in, my money lay it here and yours lay there, they'd take it, slide off, look. Housey-housey, that's what you used to call bingo, housey-housey. We learned to play that. And there was three or four of the same, all sorts of card games, but that was all against the law. Mm-hmm. Some of them on military police, they were really rotten, some of them were, you know. Yeah. Another one is just a difference, you see.
What sort of things would they do, apart from pinching your money?
Well, the porter, you see, you need to get up in front of your officer, you see. Oh, yeah.
Were you ever punished for anything?
I never got ahead. I was just lucky. Yeah.
You were saying earlier about field punishment number one. Did you see any other punishments at the front?
Well, yes. Fatigues, washing limbs. Say you might have done something wrong and you had to wash every wagon, that limbs were just on wagons. If you do have two this time out of the line, you do two more the next time till you get through the lot. But that wasn't number one. That wasn't number one.
Did you ever hear of anyone being executed at the front?
Well, yes. They shot over 300, you know, in the British Army, out there.
Did you witness any?
No, I didn't witness. They read out there, you see. When you come out, you form a three, I forget what they call it. There's officer read out so-and-so, deserted, or cowardice front enemy or whatever, and the punishment was duly carried out yesterday morning or whatever.
What did you think of that?
Well, we didn't like it. There's all 300. Oh, yeah.
Could you understand people deserting?
Well, some people's nerve give way, you see. That, you see, then they slide away from the trenches, and there's a battle police behind it. Second line, you see, battle police. They got there with a load of revolvers. And if you're too awkward, they'd shoot you, but in the ordinary time, they'd arrest you, you see, and take you back. Then you had to have a court martial, or you'd be dead within about 3 or 4 days. And that's read out, you see. That's, you know what, that's, oh yeah, a cowardice, desertion, or something like that. But I mean, some people just couldn't stand it. I mean, perhaps they were best dead, I don't know. And of course they're killed in action, you see. Their parents don't know. Killed in action. Yes, if they'd been killed up the front.
Yeah. Did you have some good pals at the front?
Yeah, some of the best in the world. I've got one Bedfield now is blowing up with eyes now. Yes, eyes and good bells. I had several host of it boys with me. Yeah, what indeed. Some of the best.
Was it very important to have your pals with you?
Well, we used to share everything. Yeah, either grub or fags or parcels and home or whatever. We used to share. Yes.
Now, some of the things you've been saying are so awful, you know, all the suffering that you saw, the dead and the wounded. But did you find that you laughed a lot as well, that there was humour at the front?
Yes. All sorts of songs. I mustn't sing some of them here.
Aren't there any respectable ones you could sing?
No. But we did. We used to make them up, you see, and they were a bit rough. No.
How about the songs that we associate with World War One, you know, Roses Are Blooming in Picardy and Mademoiselle from Armatiers, you know. Did you sing that sort of thing?
Oh, yes, sung all sorts. If the sergeant drink your rum, never mind, is one. And one of them was, we are Fred Carnell's army, we are the MGC. We cannot fight, we cannot die, what bleeding good are we? But when we get to Berlin, the Kaiser, he will say, Hop, mein Gott, what a bloody smart lot are the boys of the MGC. Have you got that?
Now, I'm sure you know a few more.
I had better. Drink your rum, never mind, there's another issue to come.
That one now.
No. One nun, son of a gun, out in France today. He get keep fit, getting his bit, down his bit, up to his eyes in clay. Each night after the fight, he've got a little gramophone that plays this tune. Take me back to dear old Blighty. That ain't exactly right, but take me back to dear old Blighty. Dump me on the train for London town. Dump me anywhere, Liverpool, Leeds or Manchester, I don't care. I am bound to see my best girl, wobbling up and down with silver be. High tiddly outly, Blighty is a place for me.
That's right. Did you know that?
I don't want to go to the trenches no more, where the Jack Johnsons, they come by the score. Oh my, I don't want to die, take me back home.
That's not, they're all made up, but like Sebastian.
Were they more important, the ones you made up yourselves? Hmm? Were they more important, the ones you made up yourself to you?
Well, I think they're the ones what people in civilian life did not never ought to hear. We weren't angels, you know. No. No. But I remember once there was going to be a bit of a concert between trucks up near, well, just behind the line. So the officer come in a hut one night where we were. He wanted to sing us. He said, you've got some good singers here. He said, but you're not going to sing the songs you do in this place. Play when I'm pushing the daisies up.
Yes, this will go into history.
Yes. Well, I'm very pleased you come. I am.
Well, it really has been most interesting. If you would just bear with me a little bit longer.
Sure.
You mentioned how you went back to Blighty for a leave. Was it just one leave you had in Blighty?
Take me back to dear old Blighty.
Yes. Did you go back just once? One leave in Blighty?
Me?
Yes.
Yeah, one leave, yeah.
Was that important, a big thing, to get back to Blighty?
Well, I don't know. That was all rush. I took a day to get home, and they got me back a certain time. Yeah, I got up London in the evening. I catch the boot train at Victoria Station for boot train down the train, and there's rails there. The likes of me had to be that side. And you see, so many London men are home too. All their families there. See them on the train. There's guardsmen there, because they're more trained. Each compartment hold 8 people, you see, that time of day. They'd put 8 soldiers in, you see, what are going back, lock the door. But to see them women are crying behind that barricade when they're kissing one another goodbye, you'd never believe it, because I never had that trouble, because I left my mother here, you see. But that train, when that leave there for Southampton, every seat was full with a man what had been on leave. Every seat, at them garden seat there. The old garden what had been out and been wounded, you see him.
They looked after the boys.
Victoria Station. Mm. There's maybe 6-7 train load just go out there on a morning, you know.
What year was it when you got back on leave, Arthur?
What leaf? 1917. That's the same time they brought a zeppelin down here at Theberton. That was down just before I come home. I come home in the June. I think that was about a fortnight in front of that.
Did you see the signs of it?
Someone won't take me. I said, don't bother me. I didn't want, I'd send enough of that sort of thing. Mm. Yeah.
Did you find, when you came back to an area like this on leave, that the people here understood what it was like in France?
I don't think they did. I don't think really anybody could not really. No.
Did you find it difficult to adjust to life at home?
Yes, I did for a time. Yes, I did, yeah. Mm. Yes, I mean, I don't think anybody realised, not really, not what it's like. We just live for the day, that's all we live for, you see. I mean, you eat shells night and day, absolutely look way behind the line, you get the big shells, you see, and in the early morning you get his old plane, drop all his little bombs. And
you were saying earlier, Arthur, that your health was good
throughout the war.
You didn't have any illness, serious illness.
I tell you, I just got my backside burnt with mustard gas. I had to go and have that dressed. Well, I had a few old scratches, but nothing. I had a great old boil. We used to have a lot of great boils, you know. Must have had my back and neck. I had one here. I could show you the hole and where that come out now. Well, they have a core in them, a core about as thick as that bit of wire, I see. Well, I and a chap named Raven laid in this shell hole for 2 or 3 hours this night, and when we got it moved, I couldn't get up, because I'd been so tired. Well, pain wouldn't stop and sleeping, even yet. I couldn't get up. So, Bob Raven, his name was, I said, Bob, I said, if you squeeze that, I said, that old call come out, I'd be fairly well alright then. Well, he squeezed that 2 or 3 times, you talk about pain. And every time he left go, that went back. So we'd got a first aid, packet of first aid in our pockets for wounded. And you was never allowed to use it on, well, we're saying that you got wounded, I'm not allowed to use it on you. Because perhaps I get wounded next, and that man, he won't use his on me, therefore, see what I mean? So that's safety bin in it, iodine, little boil of iodine. That was all a goo that time of day, you know. We got this safety pin out, and I said to him, I said, give that a squeeze. I said, and when that shell was off, he did. He got it the first time. Then he let me have a little rest, and he got hold of his safety pin, you know what I mean? I said that core was anywhere about as long as that, and I expect that's near as thick as that.
It's an inch long.
There's a hole in there with that coming.
Yeah.
But I said to Bob, when he tried to help me, I said, leave me. I said, you slide on, leave me. I said, somebody will find me. He said, no. He said, I ain't going to leave you. He said, if you can't go, he said, I aren't. Because he'd have got wrong, you see. And that's what I call being pals, look.
How many of your pals did you lose?
Oh, I don't know. It's hard to say.
A lot?
Score, I expect. More than that, I expect. Then you lose so many, which you don't really know what, you know, what have been there just that short time. But a lot of them poor little old boys, what we had to take up after that big retirement, a lot of them never come back, you know. Yeah. And got to train, and you see, cried for the mother. I should never forget it. They want perhaps three on this gun, put two on it, that one. And what good were they? They weren't good, were they?
When were you demobbed, Arthur? When did you come back and when were you demobbed?
The February.
Of
1919? Flu was, well, the year before, flu was very, very bad. It was right at kill hundreds, you know, both German and British. There was a bit of fortnight, they was hardly shot fired at all. And they wouldn't know what to look after sick. They just laid in and dug out and died. Well, when I come home the next winter, 18 winter, that then got here. That killed my brother. They killed hundreds and hundreds, and they wouldn't know where to bury them. The towns were full of dead. The undertakers and everybody got it. Flew. Yeah, I ain't been home in about. Well, they were all abed, look. All abed. Might as well be dead, you might say. Never had anything but hundreds. That was what I call flu. That was all over Europe, you know. Yeah.
How did you settle back into civilian life when you came back?
Well,
did you get
I started with. Well, I went on Dole's, that was, for about 2 months. 29 bob a week. That's 6 months. Then I got a job at Kelsale. I used to walk there about a mile and a half, I expect, on the farm labour. Then I got a job near home afterwards. Then I got married and moved up here. I've been here since 1920.
Do you think the war made a difference to your life? Did it change you in any way?
Well, I suppose that made me see more of the world than what I should have done, I suppose. Because I see a lot of things what I didn't do me much good. You know, because that's like them cemeteries out there, you know, that one behind the Somme. I'll tell you, one of the best sights I see where the Somme battle's on. We come out, and this time we come further back. I don't know why. And there's a hospital there where all the wounded went to. And there was two British nurses outside having a little exercise. They were all dressed up, you know, beautiful. That was one of the best sights I ever once spoke about that. To see them two women neat and clean and dressed, all which in and out of song was dead. And old khaki and old Jerry's old blue, that's all we'd seen for weeks, well, months. See them two, and that's like, see them walking now. They look like angels. They did, that's a big clearing station where all the wounded went, you see, before they were sorted out, you see. There'd be a train stand there for the ones what got to come home to England, put on the hospital ship, you see. Others they'd patch up and up you go again. But to see them two nurses, they were lovely. They were. Looked so neat and clean, you know.
Well, I think that's a very good note to end on,
don't you?
Something bright and hopeful. But and thank you very much, Arthur.
Them poor girls had a wrong place in them. Taking, you know, broken arm was taken, all the legs and they used to burn all them, you see, what they took off, in the incinerator. Yes. I don't think there's much else, I think. I'd Do you?